podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
With each passing hour, it's looking more and more likely it's going to be Conte rather than Pochettino. If it's neither, good luck, Daniel Levy, is all I got to say, I think.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everybody, and for those on YouTube, apologies, let's try again. For benefit of those listening on the audio, my name's James, and you're listening to my regular YouTube live stream, Ask James, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. If you're wondering what I'm talking about on the audio, this stream has already failed once. Hopefully it won't fail twice. Let's get into the questions. I think we'll make this last half hour to 45 minutes or so. Stian Bosdale says, "Oi, Gov, when was the promo pick taken? Seems like some hair ago." Listen, my friend, that's the same promo pick I always use on the Ask James streams. That picture's only, if you look from the side, I've got hair there, my friend. That picture's from about 20 months ago. But obviously, I've got less hair now. I've just had to watch fucking Mourinho football for the last 18 months. So it's no wonder I've lost some hair, mate. Avtash says, "You mentioned the managerial merry-go-round on Patreon." Yes, we did on our Tottenham podcast this morning. "Where does Potter fit? And would he do well at Everton? I think some squad elements at Everton actually resemble what he works with at Brighton." Well, where Potter will be at the start of next season is at Tottenham. At Brighton, I'm fairly certain. I would have had him at Tottenham, but it's obviously not going to happen now by the looks of things. Tottenham seems to have gone very cold on the idea, although I do know that Potter was originally on the original shortlist going back in sort of April or so. Doesn't look like it's going to happen now. I'd be very surprised if Everton went for him, but I think he'd be a good appointment for them. I guess Potter stays at Brighton and we can look forward to them underperforming XG next season. He's a very good coach. I think a lot of him. I think a lot of us who have watched Brighton last season enjoy watching them. They're a good team. We've got good players. I'm still annoyed that Lewis Dunk's not in the England squad. I'm sure we'll get some England questions coming up shortly. But I imagine he'll be at Brighton. In terms of the managerial merry-go-round, to just kind of clarify what I spoke about this morning, basically, you've got Wolves that like to get in Bruno Lage, was Benfica manager. That's just waiting on work permit issues. Looks like it's a done deal. What I was speaking about was Tottenham, Everton, Palace, and basically a little bit of a food chain where Everton are probably waiting for Tottenham to do their business and Palace are probably waiting for Everton to do theirs. For example, I know Nuno Espirito Santo is amongst the front runners for the Everton job. But it looked a week ago like Nuno was going to rock up at Crystal Palace. Now, I think if Nuno's given the choice, he'll go to Everton. Similarly, I guess at the time of recording, which is just after 3 p.m. in the afternoon UK time, it looks like at the moment Antonio Conte is going to become the Tottenham manager. But should he not, then I guess Everton, who are an ambitious football club, will approach Conte to see if he's got any interest in taking that job, in which case Nuno could become available again for Palace if Everton decide that Nuno is not for them. But I think Potter will stay at Brighton. I'd be surprised if he didn't. Stian also says, "Would you take Dofsky as a replacement to Kane?" I presume Dofsky is Robert Lewandowski. It's way too good for us, mate. I was having a conversation with one of our patrons on Zoom this morning, Tim Keane. Good afternoon, Tim, if you're listening. I was talking about Robert Lewandowski a little bit, and he was saying he thought it was a possibility that perhaps he might end up at Chelsea in 12 months or so. Now, Lewandowski is approaching 34, but he's still an absolute weldie of a centre-forward. He would not be coming to Tottenham. That is a certainty. I think Tim's idea with that was he thought that Haaland may well go to Bayern Munich next summer, was the thinking, and I could see that. Sean Buckley says, "Promo pick is definitely from a wedding." It wasn't from a wedding. It's actually taking my wife out to dinner on her birthday. Genuine, true story. Owen Kinnear says, "Can save a Ballon d'Or with a good Euros." I tweeted this on Saturday night or Sunday morning that because of his performances in the Champions League knockout stages have been so exceptional, that should he star, and I think he would have to star for France in the summer and them to win the tournament, then yeah, I've automatically, someone who wins the Champions League and wins the major international tournament during the summer automatically comes in contention for Ballon d'Or award. It would be amazing if someone like N'Golo Kanté won it. I would be surprised at this stage, though. But if France win the tournament, just by association, he's naturally going to get mentioned if he has a good tournament this summer, and he should do. He's a superstar. Owen Wilson says, appointing Conte would be similar to the Jose appointment, wouldn't it? Pragmatic managers known for winning things, not the forward-thinking football Spurs promise. Do you see things being different? So, 100%, it's a big step up from Mourinho. I used the quote today on our Patreon podcast that Jose Mourinho was an elite manager. Antonio Conte is an elite manager. I think that's the major difference between the two. Conte's been kind of saddled with this negative football brush because it's not exotic. It's not rock and roll club football. It's not partially to death Guardiola football. It's somewhere behind that. And Conte's major principal philosophy is winning football. No doubt about it. You only have to watch Inter Milan to know that it's going to be better than what Mourinho served up. The Chelsea team that won the title deservedly when Tottenham finished second, finished on 93 points. I think the Inter team this year finished on 91 points. It's Inter's second highest total. I think that Chelsea 93 points was their second highest total in their history as well. The Italy team at Euro 2016 was a joy to watch. Lost out very narrowly to Germany on penalties in the quarterfinals. He won five of his last seven league titles. This is an elite manager for now. Mourinho was something that was historical. One thing that Conte will definitely do that Mourinho didn't as well is you get them players fit. He won't take no bullshit. So whoever doesn't get fit in that squad's on their way out. That's going to be a priority. I've spoken about this previously, that priority for Tottenham, as much as getting the managerial appointments right, that manager has got to be someone that will get the players fit. I don't doubt Antonio Conte will do that. I'm a person who generally prefers teams to play with a back four. I know Conte will come with a back three. I don't have a problem with that because that's the characteristics that best suits his style. He tried a back four at Chelsea when he came in. It didn't work. He ripped it up at halftime at the Emirates and changed it to a back three. And then they went and won 14 games in a row after that. He's a top-level manager. Absolutely knows what he's doing. Nobody, certainly not me, and I don't think any other Tottenham fans suddenly think Tottenham are going to challenge for the league title next year. It's not possible. We've only really got two good players, and I imagine at least one of them's leaving. Although I hear to see Fabrizio Romano tweeted earlier that Kim-min Son is probably likely to sign a new contract with in the summer with Tottenham. But we still imagine Kane will leave. So that team's nowhere near challenging for the title. Conte will do well to get it in the top six. But actually, I think would probably make us contenders for top four. He's so consistent in his work. So it's definitely not the manager that Daniel Levy promised Tottenham fans a couple of weeks ago in terms of returning to Tottenham's DNA. And style of football, entertaining football, attacking football, all those things that Daniel Levy listed in the programme notes that all Tottenham fans saw before the game against Aston Villa. Conte's definitely not that manager. However, and this is what I also explained on the Patreon podcast earlier, over the last week or so, Tottenham fans have obviously fallen in love with the idea of getting Pochettino back again. Those who would listen to me at this time last week would know I said that reappointing Pochettino was not the right thing for Tottenham. Emotionally, that's who I want because we had such a connection, fan, manager, players. We felt like a collective and a group. Antonio Conte is definitely a better appointment than Mauricio Pochettino right now for Tottenham, even though in my heart I would prefer Pochettino because it's the emotions getting the better of me. Conte is one of the best managers in world football at the moment. And until it's a done deal, I'm still not convinced that it will happen because, like I've said with many players, why would he come to Tottenham? Well, there seems to be a lure that he wants to come back to the Premier League. If he wants to come back to the Premier League, then how many jobs would be available? I mean, we're talking about Everton. Maybe another job would come up. Would Liverpool go for him if Klopp left? Would City? Don't see it. United? Maybe. Chelsea wouldn't go back down that path, would they? Arsenal? Yes, possibly. So there's only a limited number of jobs if he wanted to come back to the Premier League. The other alarming concern is he's supposedly leaving Inter Milan because they've got to sell players this year and he's not going to get back in. So Daniel Levy's going to have to do some major... Is he going to back Conte with big money this summer? I don't see how Tottenham can. The only way I see Tottenham spending big money is if Harry Kane leaves. So very interesting couple of days. The latest reports seem to suggest that appointment might be confirmed early next week. So it could still be a while. One of the reasons for that is Tottenham looking to get a director of football possibly in as well. Someone who worked with Conte at Juventus. I think it's Patrici, his name is. I can't pretend I've done the research on him yet. I haven't. So we may still have a little while to wait now, but it's with each passing hour, it's looking more and more likely it's going to be Conte rather than Pochettino. If it's neither, good luck, Daniel Levy, is all I've got to say, I think. Let's talk FPL. Andy, my friend, is in. Says, good afternoon, James. Question on England. How much would you risk players who have been out a while? Maguire, Henderson, he mentioned. Should they be thrown straight back in at the earliest chance? Maguire, yes, because we're so fucked at centre-back. Henderson, no. Henderson needs minutes. He needs to partake in that game against Romania on Sunday. He needs to get minutes. I think him starting against Croatia is probably quite unlikely. The thing with Jordan Henderson is he's an extremely good leader. I think we've seen that on and off the pitch in football over the last sort of 18 months or so. Has a major impact on that England squad, just being around. He's the sort of guy you'd want to be part of that 26, even if he had no chance of playing. Honestly, you'd probably go 25-man squad. Can he be a part of it? Unless he's going to be a sulk off the pitch, which from experience of him missing time for Liverpool, doesn't seem like he's that type of player. So you'd want him around the squad. England have a major problem at centre-back. Anybody who watched the game last night can see that. So there's some reports that Maguire might not be available till the knockout stage. It's still worth taking him. Whatever people think of Harry Maguire, is a lot better than Connor Cody and Tyrone Mings. As I've said previously, I'm annoyed that Lewis Dunk never got called up. I mean, there's every possibility he'd be starting a tournament for me. He's so much better than Mings and Cody, who really struggled last night with their distribution. Interesting, I was talking with Tim Keane, as I said, one of our patrons earlier this morning, and we was talking about, there was a lot of chat last night about England playing a back three against Croatia, and I know the last sort of four or five games England have played a back four. We know they were well drilled and worked first in playing a back three in the autumn internationals and last summer. And it's not to say they won't play that back three, but even if we do, the assumption now is probably Cole Walker right side of centre back, Stones in the middle, Tyrone Mings left side of centre back for balance. And he's a Man United fan. Why can't we play Luke Shaw left-sided centre-back? Now, I know that's a slap in the face to Mings and Cody, but if Maguire's unavailable and we're going to play a back three in the first game, honestly, Shaw, Stones, Walker, back three. That's the way we should go. Mings and Cody shouldn't be playing, I'm afraid to say. There were better options to take for England centre-backs and have not been taken, and it leaves us a problem, particularly if Southgate does want to play a back four, then it probably has to be Tyrone Mings. I agree with that. But I think if it's a back three, why can't we play Shaw and Walker as the wide centre-backs? They've both played that. Walker's played that role for England. Shaw's played that role a number of times when United have played back fives in high-profile games. There's no reason why he can't play that position for me. That is better. That is a better solution. But I think England will start with a back four. Generally, I think we should be playing a back four. Certainly in games, at least where we expect to win, when we're going to have more of the ball. I don't think we should play a back four, so... I mean, by default at the moment, it looks like Tyrone Mings will start the tournament. It's not ideal. Anybody see that off the ball incident last night? Mate, that happens in the tournament. It's a penalty and a red card, possibly. Ayub Seller says, would you take Poch back as manager? Yes, I would. There's a difference between I don't think it would be right and what my heart tells me. My head tells me that bringing Pochettino back, while many of the players that let him down are still there, bringing him back would be a mistake. But my heart tells me that I had the best 5 years of my time supporting my football team while I was in charge. So there's that natural pull. So my heart says yes, my head says no. Adash says, will Conte fit nicely at Spurs or a mistake like Mourinho? Who knows? I would bet that Conte will be in charge of Tottenham if he's appointed no more than 2 years. And Pochettino will be the next Tottenham manager after that. I'd probably bet that now. I wouldn't be surprised if Tottenham have already had that conversation with Maurizio Pochettino, because it seems like Poch had to force his way out of PSG. It's not been possible. This situation has arisen with Antonio Conte, and it's a short-term fix. And so rather than Pochettino having to do the rebuild amongst the squad of players that really let him down, someone else can do the rebuild, and then he comes back in. I think that's a highly probable situation at the moment. Many Tottenham fans are really talking about that possibility. Nobody thinks Antonio Conte is going to come in and be Tottenham manager for 5-10 years. Very unlikely. Come in, do his business, win something, and probably, to be honest, move on to a bigger club, if we're very honest. If he does well at Tottenham, big clubs will be looking for him at different stages. I'm surprised that Real Madrid weren't interested in any way. I think it's very feasible in a couple of years that Conte could be PSG manager and Pochettino be Tottenham manager. I think it's very feasible. Does he fit in? I think him and Daniel Levy will be a car crash, but it's short-termism. Again, it's not what we wanted, but it might be the best short-term solution. Something's fallen into place, Tottenham, with the possibility to appoint a world-class manager, and it looks like that's what's going to happen. Dylan Farrell says, hi, James. Hope you're keeping well. Who's your dark horse picks for the Euros? Quite fancy Ukraine to go on a run. Could do, because they're in a weak group, if I'm honest. Probably the weakest group is that Dutch group. So expect them probably to get out of the group. Turkey, maybe, if they do well in the group and the draw falls nicely for them. But you would expect the established names, particularly in a 2014 tournament where it's very difficult for the strong teams to get eliminated at that stage. Luke Hopkinson says, Conte is the real deal, isn't he, James? Excited, think it will happen. It looks like it's going to happen. Never want to count your chickens on these things and look stupid. But yeah, I think when Fabrizio tweets stuff, you kind of know that it's looking like a serious possibility. So it looks like the stumbling block at the moment is probably not even wages, because I think Tottenham will pay Conte a high salary. It's probably more what's going to be on offer for Conte in the role is probably what's the deciding factor. So if Tottenham can't give Conte good assurances in terms of transfer spend or what's happening with Harry Kane, all those kind of things, then there's every chance he won't take the job and he'll wait for something else, I would have thought. But yeah, it looks like it's going to happen. He is the real deal. It's short-termism. Is he going to make Tottenham champions? No chance. I mean, anybody alive could make that squad of players good enough at the moment. And I realise he took Chelsea from 10th to 1st in his first season, but that was a Chelsea team that had Courtois in goal. Did they get hold of N'Golo? They got hold of N'Golo Kante that summer, didn't they? They had Eden Hazard, Diogo Costa. They had good players, right? This is not quite the case with Tottenham. Stian says, any surge of patrons coming in seeing as you're giving your sugar away for free for 2 months? Well, as you've mentioned it, I'll promo it now. Yes, Patreon is free in July for anybody who signs up before the end of the month. The content is continuing during the month, intermediate podcasts all the way through. We're not doing 5 a week during June. We're only going to do 3 a week because it's going to be so much football once the Euro start. And then once the Euro finishes, we'll go back to 5 pods a week, Monday to Friday, all the usual favourites, the Q&A. Tottenham. Definitely do some Sky pods, Sky Fantasy pods on Patreon this summer. There'll be lots happening in advance to regular article and videos as well. And I see Dylan Farrell's put Ireland playing Andorra at 5. I do think Kenny will be sacked if we don't get a win here. Dylan, I promised you months ago an Ireland podcast, and I'm going to do that for you on Patreon next week, my friend. Owen Wilson says, Conte left Inter because they wouldn't spend. Won't he find the same issues at Spurs, especially if Kane decides he wants to play under Conte, which could well happen? How would they generate money? Well, you'd have to box clever. Definitely have to box clever. There's a lot of players in the squad who Tottenham could get 15, 20 million in, and they need to sell them all. Get the 6, 7 of them out of the club, and suddenly you've got sort of 120 million, hundreds of 120 million or so, and you've got box clever. Buy our 2, 3 good players. There were some players who can get reintegrated back into the squad who've been out alone, who people might forget about, like Ryan Sessegnon, for example. Oliver Skip, I definitely think, had an impressive season at Norwich. I definitely expect to be back in the first team squad next year. So that'll bring a little bit of freshness in itself. I'm very confident Conte will like Oliver Skip, by the way. And he might like Ryan Sessegnon as well, actually. So there's 2 new names for a start. There was a good group of academy products coming through, possibly a little bit too young at the moment. Conte's not really known for developing youth players. You've got to box clever. Get rid of the 6 or 7 players of shit. Got to have a slightly thinner squad. Got to have a little bit more trust in youth if you suffer severe injuries. That's what Tottenham are going to have to do if Harry Kane stays. Vincent says, does Trent's injury mean England are more likely to play a 5 at the back system for the Euros? TAA, the only out-and-out right-back for club, with James, Walker and Trippier all comfortable at both right-sided centre-back and right wing-back. Listen, let's not make out that James, Walker and Trippier can't play right-back or they've never played right-back before. Cole Walker regularly plays right-back for Man City. So it's only that Trent doesn't often play wing-back. No, I don't think it makes it more likely. I think Southgate probably had a preset idea in his plan what games he wants to play back four slash back five in, and will probably stick to that. I don't think that's going to make a difference. John Robson says, hi, James. Curious to hear your thoughts on Scotland and our chances at the Euros as a non-Scot. No need to be polite. Up here, we're just excited to be involved. And I'm delighted that you are involved, John. Always pleasing from my perspective. The more home nations are involved, the better. And it's been so long for Scotland, 23 years. Got some good players, mate. I think when you get McTominay and Gilmore in midfield together, you've obviously got a strong left-hand side with Tierney and Andrew Robertson. Some decent players there, some young boys who come through, Turnbull, Christie and stuff. Some decent players. I haven't done the research yet, and I also don't need to because our good friend Sky Fantasy Football Hub expert Paul McNulty will be joining us for a special podcast on Wednesday all about Scotland. So Paul will give us the full lowdown there. He's promised us, because Paul's travelled and watched Scotland abroad quite a lot, he's promised us some Scotland travelling stories. So could be quite a bit of humour in that one as well. James S says, with Chelsea picking up their second European Cup, would you agree this ends any debate that they are now a bigger club than Arsenal? Cheers, James. Pwah. Difficult one, because Arsenal have got, and I presume you're asking this from a Chelsea fan perspective, Arsenal have got 100 years of history and Chelsea have got 20. 25 if I'm nice. I don't think you just discount that. Are they the biggest club right now of the two? Yes, you couldn't argue that. It depends. How do you value that? I mean, Arsenal get nearly 20,000 more fans in the grounds than Chelsea. Stamford Bridge is a smaller ground. So it completely depends. How do you rate that? At the moment, you'd have to say they're the biggest club in London. Can't argue that. Yes, certainly winning two Champions Leagues helps with that. Colin Conn, what do you think are the top five ingredients to a top 50... 10k finish? I presume you meant 5 to 10k finish. My current thoughts in order: luck, a good start, moderate risk on captain planning. You're asking the wrong person, mate, because unless you meant 50 to 100k. Consistency, I highly recommend listening to the podcast we released on Monday with Dieter Minne, who finished number one in Belgium, won our Planet FPL Mini League, finished 125th overall. He's consistency. Consistency, doesn't take too many chances. That's it. Risk will propel you to the top. Risk can backfire, like not just taking that minus four for Bruno Fernandes in game week 35. Yes, James. I'm not the right person to ask. I'm by no means a fantasy expert. Luck is important. You do need a good start. You do need a good start. I mean, certainly if it's 50 to 100K, you don't have to have a great start to finish at those levels. You do need to take some risk at some point. Planning, of course, is important. Joe Finney Badder says, afternoon, James. Which countries do you think will disappoint at the Euros? I'm going for Spain. What if I say England? That'll upset some people, won't it? Holland, I've got a poor team. If they're in a piss poor group, they'll probably win the group. They'll probably win three games out of three in the group. I think as soon as they make a good team, they'll probably get beat. I think very average from what I've seen read. Who will disappoint? Difficult one. Kind of Italy fit in the line. They're one I'm really not too sure which way it's going to go with them at the moment. They've also, another country, have obviously got the benefit of home advantage in the group stages. I think Holland could be the one that really disappoints. Spain, it's obviously not the team of 10, 12 years ago, but they've still got some very good players. They'll still dominate the ball in the majority of games. I don't see them winning it, though. I think that's fair. I mean, to be honest, it's difficult not to see France winning it. If France click, they'll win it, I think. Got the best squad by a distance. Colin Conn says, when it works, I will like it to Dylan Farrell. He was asking to like the stream. Sorry, guys. Neil Thompson says, afternoon, James. Just a quick shout out to say hi and thanks for the content this off-season. Cheers. You're very welcome. Content will continue throughout the summer. I'm not going to bore you all with that now. All I say is, we got the big fat FPL quiz of 2020-21 tomorrow. We've already recorded it. I think you'll love it. At the end of that, we go through all the content plans for the summer. Anil says, which DM United can target since Rice will cost a lot of money and anyway prefers Chelsea? We're still Declan Rice. United can outbid Chelsea. He may prefer to go to Chelsea because his mate Mason Mount is there. But if United want to pay for Declan Rice, pay for him. I mean, that's the best solution for United. United probably need that player now more than Chelsea do. And I think if United identify Declan Rice to come in and I think develop a partnership with Scott McTominay, go and buy him. Go and buy him. Otherwise, I think you need to look overseas. Bloomer says, Arse James is back, baby. Where were you last week? I got to be honest, it probably won't be another Arse James for about 4 or 5 weeks during the Euros. But we'll see. You never know your luck. Callum Mate says, hi, James. Fantasy scenario. Uh-oh. FIFA and UEFA allow you to change football. Mr. Linden, you can take out one current role in football and add one of your own. What would be your two decisions? First thing I do is remove VAR completely, scrap it, sack it, bring the emotion back to football. Rule change. Ooh. One thing that stopped until the last few game weeks of the season was players getting booked for diving. We absolutely need to bring back retrospective action. We've got VAR to prove that people are diving and we're not using it. So let's get rid of diving out of football. Let's stop cheats. Let's encourage referees to give decisions to players that are fouled. They don't have to dive. Someone tries to hurdle a challenge and the ball runs away from them. Bring it back. They don't have to dive to go down. So we need to... I mean, what was the name of the ref did the Champions League final? It was exceptional, wasn't it? It was absolutely brilliant. But yeah, VAR would get binned. What I am really looking forward to seeing, Callum, is I know there's trials going on with the aim of them being ready for the 2022 World Cup, where offsides might be automated by a computer system. I know they're working hard on that. And that might take away all my anger with VAR, because it stems from the idea that whenever my team scores a goal, I don't know if I can celebrate or not. And that's not the game that we fell in love with. Until we fix that, I'd just get rid of VAR. Doesn't matter what I say, that's not going away. So is what it is. But yeah, I'd bin it, mate. Football will be better. We'll all enjoy it more. Laxman says, yo, boy, how are you? Had coffee and biscuits. Yes, it's like 3:30 in the afternoon, mate, so definitely. FPL telling Josh, afternoon, James, thoughts on how the 3 promoted teams will fare in the Prem this season? Do any all of them have enough to stay up? They all have the capability to stay up. I don't think we've had outstanding candidates come up in the last few years. Leeds last year, Wolves 3 years ago, where it was definitely clear those two respective sides were going to be the best of the promoted teams. That's not clear this time. I think Watford financially are probably the best equipped to stay up. Obviously, we discussed with our new Brentford correspondent, FPL dummy Tom, on Tuesday's pod. Brentford's model is really interesting. They are going to do some business in the transfer market, but probably aren't going to spend big. Norwich could lose Buendia, and will they spend the money? But are a very different side to the one that got relegated. They've improved a lot defensively, and that's how they defend is probably going to decide what they do next year. But it's difficult to look above the teams that have stayed up this year and see who will get dragged down. Southampton, terrible 2021. Do any of us really think they'll go down? Palace got a new manager coming in. Wolves got a new manager coming in. Newcastle, frankly, have been decent the last 3 or 4 months on the whole. So difficult to see any of them coming up and exploding like Leeds have done, for example. Don't see that happening. But yeah, all 3 have got a chance of staying up. They're all decent sides, but not great sides, what I would say at the moment. DJ Music Ace, hello, James. Hope you're well. Thoughts on Kante being one of the best number sixes to ever play? I think what we learnt with Kante this year is that he can play multiple roles. So he can play sitting. He played multiple roles within the Champions League final. In the second half, he played a very different role to the role he played in the first half. We can see him being that kind of sitting, holding, protector, destructor. He can press. He's improved his ball-playing skills immeasurably over the last few years. He's got a lot better. Sarri and Lampard got mass criticism for playing Kante on the right of a midfield 3. But when Tuchel's occasionally done that, like he did against Real Madrid, it's not been deemed as a problem. It's okay because Thomas Tuchel. And Kante was exceptional, particularly in the second leg. So I think he's developed. I think to describe him as just a number 6 would be limiting him, personally. I think we associate number 6s more with... when I say he's improved in terms of his ball skills, you're not comparing him to like a Busquets, for example, or someone like that. So I wouldn't restrict him as a number 6. Is he an extremely underrated midfielder? Yes, we had a discussion on our podcast on Tuesday on Patreon about would he get into a best ever World 11? I don't think he'd be anywhere near that personally. But he's, in terms of him, he's so unique. It's difficult to compare him to anybody. You wouldn't want to play against him. You could pick the best 11 in the world. You wouldn't want him to be on the opposition. That's what I would say about him. Quite at that level to say greatest ever teams? I don't think so, personally. But what a magnificent player. Notorious Nerd, who do you think will win the Golden Boot? I presume that's a question for the Euros. If it's for the Premier League next year, it'd be Harry Kane, irrespective of which Premier League team he might be playing for. For the Euros, I think Benzema. I know he missed a few chances last night. I think Benzema possibly outscores Mbappe. I'm going to say Benzema. David Beaton, afternoon, James. What would you say is Scotland's strongest three in the middle of the park? I'm not equipped to answer that yet, David, because I've not done the research. It's honestly true. You're saying typically play a 6, 8 and 10. Possibly go a 6 and 2 8s now, though. I need to do the research, David. But if you ask me next Thursday, I'll be able to give you the answer. I can't pretend that I've watched Scotland play in the last year or two. I've only seen bits of highlights and whatnots. I know that there are some good emerging young players. I'm looking forward to hearing what Paul's got to say for it on Wednesday. Josh Hinchcliffe says, hiya pal, a bit random, but just wondering which of the current greedy six squads you think a peak Gary Neville would be best suited to tactically? Cheers. What, to manage? I presume you mean manage rather than playing. In terms of play, get him at Tottenham because we need a right back. Tactically, who would be best suitable to? It's probably Arsenal, actually. He'd fucking hate that himself, but that's probably the answer. Matthew Organ, England win the Euros and Mount is integral to the success. Surely he could be a Ballon d'Or contender as well. Well, maybe Ben Chilwell scored a winner in the final and he will be. A little bit of a difference. I think Kante has, in those Champions League games, has been exceptional beyond belief. So, Mason Mount is not going to be a Ballon d'Or contender. Shifo, Doherty is going to be on fire with Conte. Look, if Antonio Conte can fix that guy, then he genuinely is probably the best manager in world football. Because I don't think that's savable, actually. Neil Kager says, hi, James. Just saw that Anthony Burke was fined and banned from UK football games for 3 years for his racist gestures and comments at Man United game. Your thoughts? I think the ban fits. I'm a little bit concerned comment on this, but I can only think this is in relation to there was an incident by the corner flag, wasn't there? And it was a guy making monkey gestures. I can only think it's in relation to that. He's been banned for 3 years. I mean, my immediate reaction to that is it's not long enough. Needs a zero on the end, at least. It's just be lifetime bans. There's literally no fucking excuse for this shit. There is no circumstance where that's excusable. So my immediate reaction to that is, okay, great, they've banned him, but it's not long enough. Lifetime bans, mate. But it's that obvious. I think there's certain things where, you know, a noise can be heard from a crowd or something, and he said it or he said it, and then it's kind of a he said it or she, and it's difficult to prove, right? And there's got to be a little bit innocent until proven guilty. If that's the incident that I'm thinking of, probably all of us who were on this stream saw that guy do that to, I can't remember which Manchester United player it was. But if that's what I'm thinking it was, then there's no excuse. You've got the picture clear as day of what he's doing. It's a lifetime ban as far as I'm concerned. Jessica Pye says, how do you see Tottenham line up? Conte comes in as manager. With what he's got now, which is obviously not what it will be, but I think with what he's got now, I think Hugo in goal, back three of Rodon, Alderweireld, Tanganga, probably Reguilón at left wing back, Bergwijn or Lucas Moura at right wing back. Højbjerg and Skip and Ndombele behind Kane and Son. There you go. That'd be my closest guess with what's available at the moment. There's obviously going to be players coming and going. Johnny Weller. Hi, James. What are the key differences between Mourinho and Conte in your opinion? I feel like I've covered that off. But the biggest one being that Mourinho was an elite manager and Antonio Conte is an elite manager. Let's talk FPL. Great shout on Shaw. I guess height is a potential issue. Cody has played a lot in the back five before, so maybe Shaw, Cody, Stones to avoid having Mings in there. not ideal, as you say. That just shoves one problem to the other, Andy. If it's going to be Shaw, Cody, Stones, might as well be Cody, Stones, Walker. I know that would mean Stones playing left-sided centre-back, but that's probably a better option. Shaw, Stones, Walker in a back three works. It's fine. It's absolutely fine. The only real issue I see with that would be you'd end up in a situation where, let's just say, the back three was Shaw, Stones, Walker, and Stones got sent off. What do you do then? Well, you'd have to bring Cody on, and you'd have to go like 5-3-1 or something like that, wouldn't you? You'd have to. That'd be the only way around it. That's the only problem. Otherwise, I don't see an issue. It would restrict, if you want to move to a back four within a tactical setup within, say, the first half, it would restrict you. You would find that very difficult. But I think in the worst case scenario, you could play Kyle Walker at centre-back. Pep Guardiola did that again for Man City against Aubameyang at the start of this season. So Kyle Walker could play there in a back four in an emergency as a centre-back. But if you were desperate to change it and it was really bad, take someone off the pitch, change the system. It's what a top manager would do. Jiggs John says, hi, James. Now that Lukaku is staying in Italy, I wouldn't bank on that. I know he said he would. I wouldn't bank with it. Who do you think is the best striker option for Chelsea in the summer transfer window? Continue playing Havertz up front? No, it's Lukaku. And I wouldn't be surprised if that still happens. It's not going to be the first player to say, I want to stay and then go. The reality is, Lukaku might even want to stay at Inter Milan. And Inter Milan might say, listen, we can take all the money that we owe here on you. Go. If, say, Chelsea want to offer over 100 million or something, they might take it. So, yeah, Lukaku would be a good fit for Chelsea, you would imagine. With what they've got at the moment, yeah, it's that. It's the alternating, like we saw in the Champions League final, where fine, okay, yeah, Havertz from the front. If they want to change it up and get Werner to stretch and Havertz drop a bit deeper for a bit, they can do those sort of things. But yeah, with what they got at the moment, I thought it was very good in the final. In fact, both of them would. I know Werner got a lot of stick for the chance he missed. The goal doesn't happen if he doesn't make that run. And it's that stretching of teams is why Tuchel's persisted with him. He stretches teams. Chelsea don't win that game without Timo Werner, in my opinion. Jeff Holt says, hi, James. Hope you and Suj are doing well. We are. Thank you, Jeff. Good to hear from you. I hope you're well, buddy. Jessica Pye says, Ollie Skip is a golden talent. He'll move on very quickly if he has a good couple of seasons. Where's he moving to? He's come back to Spurs, mate. Jonathan Nagy, is it weird I had a dream that I met you and Suj last night? And to my surprise, Suj was short and you were tall. I'd put the coffee down, John. I'm a little bit worried. If you need to DM me, I know some good doctors, mate. Oliver Render says, hi, James. Hope you're well. Do you think Kane would view the Conte signing, if it happens, as ambitious enough to stay one more season? Excuse me. Thinking what he did after Chelsea finished 10th with no Europe. As I've said, Tottenham are not going to be winning no league next year. Could Tottenham win an FA Cup, finish top four, win the UEFA Conference League next year under Antonio Conte? Yes. Yes, that becomes a possibility. You can finish top four without being in the four best teams in the league, in my opinion, because consistency is what matters absolutely most. Is it going to make a difference to Harry Kane? No. Harry Kane, in my opinion, literally comes down to, will Manchester City offer Tottenham the money they want? And we can only speculate on what that amount of money is. If Daniel Levy wants 150 million and is going to refuse to sell him for anything less, then Harry Kane will be a Tottenham player next year. It really is as simple as that. I suspect the fee is probably not that high and Manchester City will find a common ground that probably involves a couple of players and a deal will happen. DJ Musicase, Champions League final ref Antonio Matu-Lahoz. He was so good. Thank you very much, mate. He was absolutely brilliant. Rob Pixid asked on previous stream, I think, but it's gone. Sorry, Rob. Memories of little winger Dominguez at Spurs. What was it? Ah, Jose Dominguez. He had some ability. He was smaller than me. It's got to be the only player I've ever seen play for Spurs was smaller than me. I think he was 5'3". Honestly true. We bought him and Ginola in the same summer. And if you'd have asked me a month into seeing them both, I would have said Dominguez would have had a bigger impact for Tottenham than Ginola, honestly. Ginola was shy. This little lad come in unheralded, unknown, and he got the ball and he just ran at people. But then people figured it out very quickly. But he had a surprise element to him. Amazing low centre of gravity because he was so small. He really could kind of dip a shoulder and go the other way. Had no power because of that. Technical skills in terms of dribbling, very good. Rest, not great. worked hard. I wouldn't call him a lazy player or anything. So it was good little player. Wasn't good enough, really. He had he played a game against Derby. He came on a sub and he fucking lit the ground on fire. Nobody had seen him play. And it was quite novel. And you remember things like that because now you sign a player, you just get on YouTube and see what they're like. Nobody had seen this little lad play or what it was like. He came on and he just ran at people. People loved it. But there weren't many more days like that, in fairness. Rob also says, what did TAA audibly say to the physio on his way off the pitch last night? And why was it one of the worst moments of TV ever? If you didn't watch it on ICV with sound on, this will make no sense. Well, Rob, you'd be pleased to know I was watching the game live and I was watching it on ITV. Yeah, basically, I'll repeat for those who didn't see it. They basically said, our mouth readers have deciphered what's been said. Have a look, see if you can make it out for yourself. And I think we all watched it and went, oh, I don't know. I don't know what he said. I haven't got a clue. And they reckon he said that it's gone, but it really wasn't clear at all. It really wasn't clear. Yeah, it was a little bit farcical. Tour 17, Conte is such a bad fit for Tottenham, isn't he? Well, we don't know. It could well be, mate. Can see him clashing with Levy in a week after appointment. Yeah, possibly. DJ Music Age, yes, Quinn, him a six limits him. He's talking about N'Golo Kante. I agree with you to some extent. Who is the best defensive midfielder ever, in your opinion? You have to remember, right? I'm only going to go back to the mid-90s here, so stuff before I have to rule out. It depends a little bit in terms of what you want from a player. So out on our actual sitting holding player, I mean, he had a position named after him, was Claude Makélélé, was incredible. Absolutely incredible. We spoke about on that Patreon pod on Tuesday about, but you can't really compare Makélélé and Kante. And that's not even to say that Makélélé is a better player than Kante. I'm not saying that. As an out-and-out back four protector, Makélélé, incredible. But then do you consider people like Patrick Vieira as a holding midfield player? I wouldn't particularly. He was a central midfield player. Out-and-out sitter, I think, of this century, I would put Busquets in the conversation. Brilliant player. Much better than people give him credit. Shrewd defensively, just makes the fouls, breaks up the play. Very good on the ball. Weight a pass. Absolutely helped that he had Xavi and Iniesta in front of him a lot of the time. It obviously helped them that they had Messi in front of them. But that trio, quartet, incredible players. Sergio Busquets, very underrated, in my opinion. If I had to pick one, though, Makélélé was king. Honestly, absolutely brilliant at what he did. He reshaped what a holding midfield player in English football did. That's big. I don't think of any other players that come over and people say, oh, it's the Shearer position, it's the Henry position. No one calls it the Kante position. People called it the Makélélé position for years. Schiffo says, don't you think England should aim to finish second in the group for a better route onwards? Okay, so we discussed this one as well. So England win the group. They probably play who finishes second in France, Portugal, Germany's group. They play them at Wembley as well. They finish second in the group. They play second from Spain's group. Let's say Sweden, for example. Is that a better route? Yes. Then guess what? You're probably going to have to play the winner from the France group anyway in the quarterfinals and it'll no longer be at Wembley. It'll be in... it might be St. Petersburg or something. So what we get to the quarterfinal instead of the last 16. Now we're playing the best team from that group instead of the second best team. Nah, let's stay at Wembley if we can, honestly. We saw the benefits of that at Euro 96. Let's stay at Wembley if we can. Mercer says, hi, James. What do you think of Pep experimenting the lineup of formation again in Champions League final? Still furious. Good luck in Euros. Can't help himself. But again, this is something we discussed on Patreon Tuesday. Nobody goes back to the 2009 final and says, oh my God, played Samuel Eto'o right on the right wing and he's played Messi as a false nine. Well, they won that day, so no one talks about it. Did he overcomplicate it? I think yes. All the Man City fan feedback that I've heard is there's a little bit of blame. Well, there's a lot of blame at Guardiola's door. One thing I would say is I think what happened tactically in the game in terms of City getting pulled around and Chelsea picking up pockets and playing the ball over the top, particularly into City's left-hand channel, which kind of pulled Ruben Diaz out of position a lot. That still could have happened if Rodri had played. or Fernandinho. Probably would have been better if Fernandinho had played. But the same thing could have happened. They wanted to flood the midfield. They wanted to keep Chelsea's wing-backs pushed high. I thought Reece James and Ben Chilwell were both excellent. They defended diligently and they attacked at the right times. They were extremely good. I think Chelsea at their peak night and Man City had a bad night. And yes, Guardiola's very responsible for what happened. But generally, I don't think it's as simple as saying, oh, we played Guardiola in a deeper position. We can all say that. But I think the outcome, on reflection, had he had Rodri or Fernandinho in there, I think the outcome of the game might have still been the same because of the way it went tactically. FPL cricket. Oh, it's my man Tim I was speaking to this morning. Talking of England centre-backs, I'd rather we moved Rice back and played Phillips in midfield than played Mings in the tournament. Any chance Southgate would risk that? Don't see it. Don't see it. And as you and I spoke about this morning, Tim, like it's a kick in the teeth in that sort of circumstance. And I mean, why even bother taking him? Yeah, it'd be a kick in the teeth, wouldn't it? So, no, I think just on a morale perspective, he wouldn't do that. And let's be honest, as much as we possibly would rather Declan Rice played centre-back than Tyrone Mings, possibly, arguably, he hasn't played the position for a year or so. So I think maybe once this year for West Ham. So, I mean, that wouldn't be ideal. Sam Choi, I believe TAA said it's coming home. Maybe it is. Tour 17 said, how did you meet Serge? Through work. Got employed by him. Well, I got employed by a subordinate of him, if you like. Had a second interview with Serge. We spoke about football for about half hour. That's honestly true. And after a year within the company, I won the Fantasy Premier League Work Mini League. And Serge said, do you want to start a podcast? And here we are later, wrapping up season 4, about to go into season 5. And let's finish with Callum Mates says, what's your thoughts on those missed managers for Levy, Nagelsmann, Rodgers, and what did you think about that brief Southgate rumour? Well, Gareth Southgate rumour's been hanging about Callum for, I think even while Pochettino was still manager, it was getting mentioned as possibly next Tottenham manager. Brendan Rodgers, Tottenham were obviously keen on, but I think Brendan Rodgers was too keen on Tottenham. Julian Nagelsmann, I'm pretty sure was first choice, but was obviously going to Bayern Munich. So Hansi Flick was obviously wanted as well, if you believe reports, but was going for the Germany job. They wanted to go for the top guys that fitted the DNA profile, and they haven't been able to get them. And this has opened up with Antonio Conte, which is why they've chosen to go down this route. Thanks very much for those who submitted questions, guys. Thanks as always for the support. If you're in the stream, obviously hit the like button and the subscribe button on the way out. We're nearly at 5,000 subscribers on YouTube. Be great to hit that before the Euros start. In terms of content, we do have our big fat FPL quiz of 2020-21 tomorrow. 50 questions submitted by me with a possible 61 correct answers on tomorrow's podcast. It's about an hour's long. I'll put it on YouTube. I will tell you 12 o'clock tomorrow lunchtime. Pod will go out in the morning. We've already pre-recorded it. I think you'll really, really enjoy it. And you'll pick up a lot of tidbits in terms of helping you for FPL next season as well. And as I said, towards the end of that podcast, we detail all the content that we're going to be doing during the summer as well. We've got lots planned. Other than that, thanks again to the guys in the stream. For the benefit of those listening on the audio, cue music, please, man child.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.